Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Oh, 1, 2, 3, clap.
You can't say 1, 2, 3, clap and then clap. You gotta just say 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3.
Wait, that's the way we always do it for almost 300 episodes now.
Okay. Oh, man, the pressure. 1, 2, 3, clap.
Stop saying clap.
Stop.
You can't. You can't say.
You don't
clap
say clap.
When you say clap, it clouds the sharp break in the audio file, and it's really hard to see. So just like you don't.
Do you know why we clap? By the way, do you know why we clap?
It creates a spike.
Yeah. So okay, I can cut it and line the audio up.
Yeah.
You don't have to do the sound. It does it for you.
I like doing that. I like doing that. Okay, let me try it one more time.
Okay.
1, 2, 3. We did it. Okay. We're all clapped up. All cheeked up, all clapped up on a Tuesday morning. Welcome back to Zero Blog 30. This edition, it is just Kyle and Cons and myself. Chaps is out. He is up in Alaska. He has decided to move up there and work exclusively on axe handles now with longtime toolies. Just kidding. He will be back soon. And we're going to kick things off. We're going to jump into it right away. Round number one, F-U-C-K, fuck. And several other words and terms that we use every day in the civilian world that you may not have realized were generated in our beloved military. Round number two, ladies, that ultimate sin in men's fashion that we're always swiping left on, that's the military's fault. Yes, it turns out cargo pockets, cargo shorts, and cargo pants are the brainchild of the troops. Does that mean we're not allowed to make fun of them anymore? Is it anti-American to swipe left on cargo shorts? Round number three, from Yandex to QAnon to the deep web and beyond, Russian bot farms are spreading disinformation and conspiracy theories online, are making Americans go nuts before the election, and it's only going to get weirder. Round number four, how would you feel about your dad being in your unit? That's the case for a 59-year-old staff sergeant who just completed the Army's combat basic training course to join the ranks with his specialist son in the 405th Civil Affairs Battalion. And of course, all of that is brought to you by Super Chewer by BarkBox. It's the subscription box for dogs that love to chew. Get tough toys and meaty treats delivered right to your door from the makers of BarkBox, the dog-obsessed company that's devoted to one goal, making dogs happy. I know we have seen from the Instagram posts that Gus, Chaps' own beloved Gus, who he said would never chew things because he trained him not to, has been loving chewing on these things from BarkBox. Spoil your dog with Super Chewer, which comes with two durable toys, always fluff-free and made of tough rubber and nylon. So no little fur balls floating around your apartment or your house or whatever from these toys falling apart. They don't do that. Two full bags of allergy-friendly treats and two meaty all-natural chews for your dog every single month. So everybody loved Dave's unboxings during the quarantine and seeing him open up and get a surprise. You can have that joy, but with your dog. They're going to love it as soon as you open it. I know that Gus was wagging his tail, and they have the weed toys. So if you want your dog to be the hit of the dog park walking around with a giant doob, this is for you. For a limited time, go to superchewer.com/ZBT and get a free weed themed toy in your first box when you sign up. That's superchewer.com/ZBT for a free 420 themed toy in your first box when you sign up. Join the pack today, and especially if you live on base, maybe you can't smoke a fat one, but you can have your dog walking around base with a sick doob in his little mouth. So go for it. That's superchewer.com/ZBT, free weed themed toy when you sign up.
Connor, you want to talk about Army football now or wait?
Fuck me, right, Cons?
We finished the weekend. Now we find ourselves ranked 22 in the country. The only team in the country who is 2-0 currently. Over 400 yards rushing, just putting on clinics week after week. So good so that BYU said, hey, we're too afraid. We're not coming up there next week. So our game next week got postponed, they'll say. So we're currently looking for another game.
So let me... ask how your weekends were earlier in the show because I wanted to put that off for at least a few minutes.
Yeah, that's fair.
The old
that's
Army
fair.
Football update. Kyle?
Well, I got a question for Cons. What are you guys going to do when you have to pass the ball? Because 57 passing yards in two games, is that going to get the job done?
I mean, clearly
longer?
It has.
Yikes.
Clearly it has gotten the job done.
Against who?
We're playing the teams they put out on the field against us.
These are important questions that Kyle is asking.
And you know what else? It doesn't matter if we don't need to throw the ball. If our defense just doesn't let the other team score, what does it even matter?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. Anyways, my weekend was good. Not much here, kids, baseball, baseball team. That's about it for me. What about you, Kate?
No, I went down to Philadelphia to visit my parents. They're not afraid of COVID. They're just saying, bring it on. Bring it on. So come on down from the city to our 55 and up. I feel like you always have to caveat. We like totally keep our distance except for when I hug them.
I don't think you have to do that. Live your life.
Yeah, we're just living our lives. But went down there, and for the first time, my parents lived in the same house for 35 years, and it was the same house that I grew up in my whole entire life until I turned 18 and left for college and then the military. But they finally sold it and moved to the 55 and up, and I haven't been back in years to drive by it. So this weekend I went back home and I did a drive-by of the old house, and they've put up this huge fence and they breed Irish setters, so the mailbox has a big Irish setter on top of it. And it was nice, but the man was outside and I pulled the car over and he came down and I talked to the new owner of the house, and he was like, yeah, anytime you want to come in and look through the house and blah blah blah. And I kind of wanted to take him up on it. I don't know. I kind of want to see if any of my old dick drawings were still deep on the wall.
You might have ended up in a well in the basement or something.
Yeah.
Who knows?
That's true.
That's a weird invite.
I know. She died where she began, back at her house, her childhood home. So that was cool to see it and to kind of go around the old stomping grounds a little bit. That was fun. And, of course, the Eagles got their asses kicked in embarrassing fashion.
Yeah, what was that
fashion.
About?
What was so, that hey, about? Football's back, baby. That's yeah. us. That's the way we roll.
17 up. 17-0, yeah. And then just shit their pants all over the field. Sad.
Find me a more classic Eagles game, though. You know,
You have a team like the St. Louis Rams. Stan Kroenke took them and ran off to L.A. So I don't even have a team anymore. I won't root for anything else unless it's St. Louis.
Yeah,
I appreciate that. You're a man of principle, Kyle.
I am.
Truly is. One of the other things I did this weekend, I will be reading three or four different books at once. And so it takes me a year because I'll forget that they're there and they get all dusty, and then I'll pick it up and read a chapter or two. But I've been reading Scar Tissue by the Red Hot Chili Peppers' Anthony Kiedis. Mm-hmm. And I've read it before years ago. So I picked it up again. I'm rereading it. And I came across this passage where he's talking about his high school days, where I learned a little factoid about the military that I did not know. So this is a little excerpt from that book. I had chosen to do an oral report on Uriah P. Levy. Is it Levy? Levy? Related to Eugene?
Yes.
Harry Knuckles? Harry Eyebrows? Okay. Who was a great American naval officer. During the course of my research, I discovered the derivation. Thank you. Anthony Kiedis of the Red Hot Chili Peppers just schooling me in language. He discovered a version of the word fuck. It came from the early naval logs that the captain would keep. If a crew member was punished for having sexual intercourse, it was noted in the log as a fuck for unlawful carnal knowledge. This was too good of a factoid not to share with the class. And so in the book, in his high school class, he goes up and writes fuck in huge letters on the board and is like, I swear it's for this report that I'm doing on this Navy guy. For unlawful carnal knowledge. I had no idea that that's where... I mean, is that really where fuck comes from?
I'm not going to Google it. I've never heard any other explanation, so that one seems to make sense, so I'll go with that.
I'm not going to Google it. I'm not going to fact check it. I'm just going to say congrats to us on creating fuck. Good job, Navy. Kyle, what do you think?
So I know I've read a lot of explorer books, and this is where it kind of gets weird because they had cabin boys, and that's where young kids kind of got their start sailing, and it was illegal to have sexual intercourse because on the ship there it was only men, very few times would women be on board, and usually it was like some captain had his wife and kids along. So, yeah, fucking on the ship was a big no-no, and you could be killed for it or flogged or any number of punishments. And so, yeah, I mean, it makes sense why that would be logged in the book, because that was a pretty serious offense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did not put fucking in the log.
Just to give some context, too, I didn't realize when this gentleman served, but he was a veteran of the War of 1812. Ah. So the word fuck is going way back in the annals of history. Not to be.
Oh, it's going way back in the annals of history.
Yeah.
A lot of hard fuck in that logbook.
Well, I'm just going to say, you know, like, I don't think that they were. No, I'm just not going to say it. We'll leave
it
at that.
Let's go. Let's hear it. Don't be a prude.
Well, I think we'll just say that's how maybe the Navy got some of their stereotypes from things of this nature, where there weren't any females on the boat back then. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah. I also would say the port to port, bringing ladies on the ship, doing a little for unlawful carnal knowledging with each other. Who knows?
So I'm looking at Google, quick Google search, origin of fuck, if you want to play along at home. It says early 16th century of Germanic origin. So I guess the Germans, which that's a perfect German word because they sound like they say fuck with every other word anyways.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I mean, they even had planes that were Fokkers, so that's pretty good.
So maybe the Navy, there was that word that existed and then the Navy just appropriated it and created an acronym on the back end.
Yeah.
All right. I'll accept it. We made it our own, much like pizza and tacos. You know, we took fuck and we said, we're going to make it American. But that is not the only thing. There's all sorts of little words and sayings that we use every day that Blake Stilwell from We Are the Mighty, he wrote these out. Six other words you may not have realized come from the military. First up, cons. You got this one?
Best man. This is interesting. Best man.
Yeah, best man.
In the days of yore. I love yore. It's a great time.
Oh, absolutely.
It was quite possible that a betrothed man might lose his wife even before their wedding to any number of possible hazards, rival bands, enemy leaders, or even random highwaymen. I didn't realize the rock and roll scene was so deadly back then.
Indeed it was. Yes, 60s.
So while he was in the middle of the ceremony, he would enlist his best swordsman to cover his back while his attention was focused elsewhere or hold off an attacking party while the new couple made their getaway. That's pretty cool.
Shit. That's the best man.
More important than, you know, organizing the strippers at the bachelor party.
I feel like today, if it was still the same where your best man had to protect your brand new spouse or your betrothed or whatever, like right before the wedding or right around the time of the wedding, almost none of you would have had the same best mans that you picked.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Pudgy friend Kenny, who's like a real hoot at the bar, would not be your best man anymore.
Yeah, you've known him since you were little, but guess what? He can't put two and two together and really doesn't know how to walk and chew gum at the same time. So maybe he's not the best guy to protect me.
Yeah,
this is where skills come in handy, like bow staff skills. Very important. Right.
Nunchuck skills.
Yeah. Guys like girls with skills. Or girls like guys with skills. Whatever. Yeah. Napoleon Dynamite. Either way. They like people with skills. Well, the military's out of their time because our best men still carry swords at the weddings, right? They do the little...
Yes. Yes,
the little thing. Yeah. Maybe that's where that come from. Yeah. Next, boondocks. I say out in the boonies, the boondocks. I say that all the time. These days, to be way out in the boonies means you're out in the sticks. What the term was coined, it meant that too, only the actual boondocks are in the Philippines. In Tagalog language, boondock literally translates to mountains. So when Filipino fighters told American troops they were headed to the boondocks during the 1898 Spanish-American War, they really meant it. They were heading into the island's inner wilderness. So 1898 is really where we got boondocks from and the boonies.
If you're
a country bumpkin... Came from the Philippines, actually. Who would have thunk? Did not know that.
Cowboys, Kyle?
So cowboys, the term cowboy used to define the ranchers and vaqueros of the Old West was never actually used for those guys at the time. It's kind of a letdown. They were usually just called cowherders or cowhands. The term cowboy goes well past the 19th century. The original cowboys were American colonists loyal to the British crown during the American Revolution. They would band together in guerrilla units and lure other units of rebel farmers into ambushes using cowbells to coax them. After the war, it was used to describe criminals from Texas who made raids into Mexico. That kind of...
That's kind of weird, because I don't know that I would hear a cowbell and think, ooh, I need to go over where that cowbell noise is coming from.
Yeah, hey guys.
What's that cow doing in the bush over there? What are those 50 cows doing in that tree line?
Let's all get in a line and go walk over there and see what's going on.
Let's see. What's up? That doesn't make any sense. Pretty ingenious, though, if you're fighting, like, farmers versus farmer, like the Revolutionary War, to use cowbells. Pretty smart, actually. But yeah, I did not know that. I did not know that's where that came from. Face the music. In the European military tradition, any disgraced officer who was summarily kicked out of his unit was done so in the most demeaning manner possible. As the regiment's drummer played on, the officer would have his sword broken, his buttons removed, and his charges read to the entire room. The officer was then marched across the parade ground to the tune of the Rogue's March toward the regimental band. So he truly had to face the music with his buttons chopped off and his sword broken.
Say, bring that back.
Bring that back. Yeah. A little part of me fucking loves that. I'm not going to lie.
I tell you what, I think some officers would be thinking twice about certain actions if they knew they had to face the literal music.
You know what the song should be this time?
What?
Na, 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 hey, hey, hey. Goodbye. All the unit should have to get up and sing that song and kind of boo you on your way out.
I just want to see the officers try to march, because that's always really entertaining.
That too. I imagine right after that. Yeah, I imagine that would be rough. I imagine right after you march out towards the regimental band and you face the music, you keep marching right to the bar. And from there, life goes on. You'll be okay.
And then at the bar, you make your last ditch effort.
Yes, you do make your last-ditch effort. In the kind of fighting that took place in the 16th and 17th century, troops didn't just maneuver around the battlefields in the open, but in tight formations wearing bright colors. Fuck us, right? Yeah, just put us in this neon color. I mean, they did that, but they also constructed a series of earthwork redoubts and other protective places to hold. So basically, buttload of trenches. When shit started hitting the fan, they would dig a ton in case things went really wrong. But everyone knew by the time you got to your very last ditch, you had to do something amazing or everyone was going to die in that ditch. Boy, the 16th and 17th centuries, what a hoot. Yeah. What a time to be alive.
Real good time. So
if your men stop fighting and they just start digging, you're like, uh-oh, this is a bad sign. We're just digging ditches here. Cons.
The whole nine yards.
I always thought it was. I had no idea it was anything else.
Now that we say it out loud, it kind of makes sense, because you'd never want just to get 9 yards, because it's 10 yards for a first down. So the whole 9 yards appeared actually in the 1950s after the end of World War II. And it had nothing to do with football or anything else where yardage is a factor. It actually referred to the length of the ammunition belts designed for American and British fighter planes during the war. 27 feet or 9 yards. When flying a particularly tough mission or otherwise using a lot of ammo, a pilot might have been said to use the whole 9 yards. So there you go.
That just doesn't seem like a lot of ammo, though.
27 feet does not.
Especially if it's like 50 cal. That's not very much.
No. I imagine they went through the whole 9 yards quite often, especially in certain battles. That would be a butthole pucker factor for sure. Some would say it's almost a last-ditch effort when you're going through the whole 9 yards. You know,
yeah, because, when you make that last-ditch effort, you don't want to screw up and have to face the music.
Absolutely, because then you'll be back on the farm like a real cowboy out in the boondocks, and nobody's going to want to be your best man. It's really tough out there. You don't want to do it. My personal military term, I find myself saying things like, okay, good to go, or the one that I use a lot that gets civilians kind of turning their heads like, what? I still use snafu all the time.
How do you use that in conversation, though?
I'm like, it's all snafu. And they're like, what? But situation normal, all fucked up, describes my life perfectly. I mean, it really couldn't describe it any better than, and the things are all fucked up. But that's for me. I'm even keel right now. That's the huge situation normal. All fucked up. I can't find my car again. So, yeah, that's the usual for that one. Do you guys find yourselves using any of these?
Yeah. I will just say Roger all the time. And most of the time, the people I use it with, they know what I'm referring to and why I'm using that. So they've actually kind of adopted it too. And then also the one I like, as opposed to typing out a very long text, is just saying sit rep. Just sending a text that just says sit rep.
ooh, I hate that.
That's horrible.
And that situation report, that's when you want your friends to tell you where they're at.
Yeah,
what
like what's
to.
Going on. Yeah.
Oh, man. Ooh. Kyle, ooh. Are you that douchey?
No.
Just kidding.
No. Mine are more along the staff NCO level, kind of mean, like food blister for like a large person. They're a food blister.
Oh, no.
I knew you would hate this, Kate. I'm sorry. But, or like you look like a rotten fart sack of smashed assholes. That one, too.
I like that one.
So,
that one
yeah,
I like.
Mine are more mean-spirited and nasty. But as I get further away from my time in, I use them less and less.
Yeah. I will also say good to go, but then also say good to hook. Same thing, just the different derivation of that.
Yeah, but you're not calling anyone a food blister.
No. I don't have that in me.
Kyle, if you had to deal with me more often, I feel like I'd hear those a lot. I feel like I would get a lot of, I did have Nutty Buddies for breakfast this morning. So there you have it.
That's all right.
But in a kind of similar vein, round number two. Because I love talking about the episodes where we go over the technologies we have today that are because of the military that you don't really realize. Mm-hmm. Like so much of our technology and things that everybody takes for granted were developed because of the military. Well, it's the same for a little something called fashion. Look it up sometime, idiots. And it leads me to say, first of all, the topic is cargo shorts. We have them because of the military, and I'll get into a brief little history of why. Kyle, don't take this the wrong way. Are you a cargo shorts guy? I wasn't sure.
So it depends on what I'm doing. It depends. Don't you judge me like this.
I'm not.
So like say I'm working out in the garage. I'll wear a pair of old like khaki pants, like work pants with cargo pockets on them because I'm doing something and
right?
I need cargo pockets. Up until a few years ago, I was a cargo short guy though. Yeah, through and through.
What changed that? What changed the super regularity of the cargo shorts?
Well, it's just so fucking hot here in North Carolina, and cargo shorts are usually really thick. So yeah. I went to, like, more comfortable shorts and the internet. Just peer pressure, you know?
Yeah. A lot of peer pressure.
People don't realize cargo shorts usually go to the middle of your knee or past your knee, and it's just all that extra fabric. So even though you're wearing shorts, they're just not very comfortable. It's just a lot
of
extra weight.
And they're a lot thicker, too. Yes. Yeah, they're definitely a lot thicker. But shorter shorts are getting hotter and hotter. Like, people are liking the 5-inch inseam is the hot patoots now?
The cons is all about that.
I just, once you get used to just wearing shorts above the knee, you can never go back.
That's true.
Well, it's still a kind of hot button issue. This journalist named Nicole Hong wrote an article about how awful cargo shorts are. And it's, I'll have to tell you, back in my dating app days, where I was mostly just lurking, I would write blogs about the trends I saw. But as I'm swiping along, immediately, I don't know what it is, but as soon as I saw cargo shorts, they could have the nicest profile. They could be very sweet looking or whatever, but it was always an immediate nope, not my kind of person. And I think maybe it's because my ex-husband was a huge Old Navy plaid cargo shorts kind of guy. Like, he was a big time cargo shorts guy. And when I found out that I used to have, you know, back when I was doing stand up, I had this joke, but based on truth, one of the ways I found out he was cheating on me was somebody sent me some photos and he was wearing these beautiful crisp Dockers. And I was like, with this girl. And I was like, what the fuck? She gets the crisp Dockers and I get the cargo
shorts. Betrayal.
It felt like it was something about the shorts that was so petty, but it was like the ultimate betrayal that she got him to wear these like nice shorts when I never could. I was like, I guess it's really over, man. I guess it's really over. But yeah, so she wrote this piece about how hated these shorts are. And I feel that way. I agreed with her article. Well, the male employees at the Wall Street Journal then rebelled. They all came in wearing their beloved cargo shorts in protest. Film director Judd Apatow tweeted that women's dislike of men's cargo shorts proves that we don't understand them. We don't understand men. In fact, it's because women understand men all too well. A man who wears cargos is a man refusing to embrace maturity, was her point. And she says it's proved by the collective temper tantrum these fellows had when we question their stupid shorts. So I don't know. I don't know if we're too hard on them or what. I'm sure there's a lot of
No, they're terrible. They're just ugly. They're just gross. Kyle, I understand what you're saying. If you're working in the garage, you have some cargo pants, cargo shorts to help aid whatever it is you're working on.
But once you step out of the garage, you're wrong.
You got to lose them, man.
Once you step into the driveway out in public, you're wrong.
Now, Kate, I might get you on. Let me just float this scenario, okay?
Okay.
You're on a hot date, right? It's, you know, you're a Chuck E. Cheese. Chuck E. Cheese, yes. Great place to take a date.
Good
romantic pizza.
Yep.
It's got everything. You got all these tokens. What are you going to do with the tokens? You got a guy, a handsome fella with some cargo shorts. Guess who's hauling those tokens around like a pack mule? Now where do you stand?
Honestly, I had not thought of that. I had not thought of tokens or all sorts of
tickets.
We're playing skee ball. I got a lot of nickels.
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
And people put stuff. I mean, I think part of it too that we hate cargo pockets is that we had them in the military and we weren't allowed to use them though.
Yeah.
Like you weren't allowed to, we're going to put these huge pockets on your pants, but you're going to get in trouble if we see anything in them.
Oh, that must be a Marine thing, because I would go in somewhere, that's where I would put my cover.
Really? Kyle, was it the same with you?
You could keep stuff in there.
Yeah, I mean, the only time we ever got to use them was deployed or in the field. Other than that, you would get screamed at as a grown man or woman for having stuff in a pocket. But, yeah, and
so maybe it scarred me.
Putting your cover in your cargo pockets, that's disgusting.
Yeah, I thought you had class, Kyle. I thought you had class.
No, I'm talking about, this was like my patrol cap cover, like, because it could just fold up, like, if I was going into the mess hall, like, when I was deployed. Like, when I had my beret, that thing just sucked. You kind of just had to carry that in your hand, folded up. Beret stunk. But, go ahead.
We have them now. Sarah Sicard at the Military Time, she did this whole piece on them, talking about, you know, obviously so much of fashion. We post, Kyle puts them up on ZBT all the time, like, these, like, $8,000 Gucci boots when you could get a great pair of Rocky boots instead. But you know, these ridiculous, and there's pea coats and trench coats and all sorts of, like, our birth control glasses are kind of popular right now, that style. But the military always has influence on the fashion world. But cargo pants is one of those influences. In the 1930s, British soldiers in battle dress. And remember, back in the day, people were going to battle in, like, the wool.
Yeah.
Fucking, like, alphas was what they were battling in uniforms that we wear as more of dress uniforms. They were, like, fighting to the death in. And slowly but surely they realized, hey, this fucking sucks. Let's switch it up a little bit. So way back then, they started changing the battle dress a little bit. And especially during World War II, they started relaxing the uniforms. And finally, by World War II especially, that's when they were putting all sorts of extra pockets and making things more utility-based for these soldiers out in the field. One German officer, wary of American forces closing in, commented in his diary about our U.S. paratroopers, "American paratroopers, devils in baggy pants, are less than 100 meters from my outline post." And he goes on to say, you know, they're everywhere. But he looked back and, like, that threw off other European militaries. They're like, look at these baggy pants assholes running all around, these pockets everywhere. But the paratrooper pant is where it first started. And then the dual cargo pant became standard issue for all branches of the military. So once the 1950s hit, it kind of, the camis and that kind of style, like, kind of started to really replace everything. So as for the civilian market, cargo pants enjoyed a heyday in the 90s. In fact, Complex praised them as the number 7 on its 90 best trends of the 90s, saying cargo pants were like SUVs for your legs. It's no wonder they experienced such a boom in the 90s. They are the SUVs of pants. You can fit a lot on those suckers.
You're walking around a party, you throw a few beers in there, you're ready to go.
Yeah, but it was all thanks to the military loosening up a little, that they also loosened up our pants, gave us some pockets, and ruined a whole bunch of fellows on dating apps that don't realize that's why they're not getting swiped on. They gotta, guys, get a pair of Dockers. Trick her.
Don't get a pair of Dockers. Don't ever wear Dockers. That's not a brand of shorts that you want to wear. No.
What's cool?
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on the person, and it depends on your style, but there's a whole breadth of companies that I would buy shorts from before I would revert to Dockers. You got, you know, you have Polo, you have J. Crew, you have Vineyard Vines.
God.
Chubby's makes a great short.
Would either of you, I've started wearing socks and sandals again. I'm fighting the man on it. I'm saying that's cool. Is there anything you guys are like, I wouldn't wear cargo shorts except in my garage. I also would never wear XYZ.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We got like cargo shorts, number one.
Well, yeah.
Number two, a jersey. A grown man should, I've long said this, a grown man should never wear a jersey. Don't even come at me and tell me it's okay at a sporting event. It's not. You're a grown
that
adult.
Is
do
the
not do
lamest?
Not put No. Do not put the name of another man on your back. There you go. Don't
How
wear
about
a jersey.
You be
grow
confident
up.
With yourself.
Why are you worshiping this other man? You can root for a team and root for a player and be a fan of that person.
But says the man second... who lives his life in the Church of Army Football. What?
Yeah, but I don't wear those kids' names on my back.
Maybe you should.
Yeah. God. And not to mention, jerseys just look terrible. They're oversized. They're meant to be
Disagree.
Worn with pads.
That's an almost immediate wood for me. Backwards hat, jersey.
Then I'm actually really surprised you're swiping left on cargo shorts. If you're doing the jerseys and backwards hat, but you can't.
I mean,
the buck stops at cargo shorts.
There. Yeah.
Guys, listen up. If you're going to wear suspenders in any sort of formal setting, do not, under any circumstance, wear the suspenders that just clip on. You need the buttons inside your trousers that you can clip the suspenders
what
into.
What the fuck is happening right
Trust
now?
Me on
what
that
is,
one. Trust
what
me
is
on that
this?
One. If you're wearing a suit that doesn't fit, just know that I'm making fun of you in my head.
Welcome to Officer Eye for the enlisted guy.
baggy shorts a la Adam Sandler. The only reason he can pull that off is because he's got millions and millions of dollars and no one can tell him anything. Leather jackets, with the exception, like females, I think can pull off leather jackets, but I don't know that there's really any leather jackets that guys can pull off.
What?
Yeah. Chains. Don't wear chains around your neck. Yeah. So that's my list. If I see those things on somebody, I automatically think they're tacky. Yeah.
That all you got, pal? That's
Kate it. Kate only gave me about 5 minutes to think up that list. That's what I came up with. Give me a full day, and there's a lot more.
With the exception of cargo pockets, I feel like you described Kate's dream man right there.
Pretty much, yes. You just wiped down everything I love, pretty much. So
yeah,
thanks a lot,
sorry.
Asshole. My God. Well, you know,
Kate wants some dude in cargo shorts with a backwards hat wearing a retro Randall Cunningham jersey screaming about the Birds with cheesesteak dripping down his shirt all over his chain.
You know what's even better to me? I'm putting myself in the tailgate lot right now. He's got a jersey. He's got a backwards hat on. He's got whatever kind of shorts he wants on except cargo. But he's got a pair of boots. I love a man in boots. And if you want a solid pair... Rocky, okay? Rocky boots. They build boots for men and women that serve and protect our country. They build boots for somebody who just wants me to hit on them in a tailgate parking lot. They are designed and built for the U.S. in each individual branch of the military. Most recently, side by side with the U.S. Marine Corps, they have a specifically Marine boot, the USMC Tropic boot. It's berry compliant and made right here in the U.S. of A. These boots are flash and water resistant and made with 1,000 denier Cordura, or however you want to pronounce it. It just sounds very fancy and high tech, which is extremely durable yet breathable, so you won't overheat, especially if you're a sweaty, disgusting mess like Captain Khan's. That's a big deal. The Panama Vibrant Cupped Outsole also makes the boot incredibly stable and sheds underfoot debris with ease, keeping you safe and comfortable over any terrain, even when fire trucks are going by during your ad read. If you have Rocky boots on, you're going to feel safe and secure. Not only does Rocky make the best boots for our service members, they make awesome boots for times between deployments or service. I have a pair of their Rocky Tropic boot, the Marine Corps version that actually has the Marine Corps Eagle Globe and Anchor on it. I have worn those hiking, and I've worn their just this super cute pair, ladies. It's got these bright red laces, this really, really great brown color that makes laces pop. I've worn both on pretty substantial hikes. You feel like a damn billy goat in these things, and I was thinking of the old boots that we used to wear on hikes in the Marine Corps that were so heavy it was like lugging bricks on your feet. These are so light, but they still feel expensive. They still feel like they're going to be able to put up with whatever you got. And that is genuine. Like, I really took these boots out hiking and I still go hiking in them. They're awesome. So whether you need boots for rucking in the desert, working in the yard, or getting outside this summer for a hike, or you just want to look good in the link lot, you mean maybe you can't go in, but you can drink a couple crispy boys out there. Maybe I'm lurking. Rocky has you covered. Go to rockyboots.com. Enter the code ZBT at checkout for a whopping 25% off your next pair of boots. That's rockyboots.com. Enter the code ZBT at checkout.
I know I'm going to catch a lot of flack about the jersey comment. This is something I've been saying for years now. So I'm looking forward to that. I don't know that I will engage with any of it. Some people understand it. They're adults and they understand why you don't wear a jersey anymore after you're done playing or after you're 13. But
well, what about
that's for the adults to
real
to
quick. What if it's like say like an Ozzie Smith or like a throwback great Stan Musial? If you shake your head at Stan Musial,
Kyle, those guys they're all-time greats. I was a big Ozzie guy growing up. But no, at no point is it okay to wear a jersey, in my opinion.
This show's over.
That is wild. I almost want to just stand up and walk away right now. It's unbelievable. I have so many. I have my Phillies jersey.
It's a little different. No. It's a little different for females. It's a little different.
Wow. Honestly. Wow.
How confident are you?
Wow. Sexist.
No, it has nothing to do with confidence, Kate. It has nothing to do with confidence. I have all the confidence in the world.
I don't
want to
wear another man's name on me.
I don't worship other men. I'm sorry. I don't worship them. I don't stand at the altar of Carson Wentz and
I'm Captain Cons, and the only one I worship is me, constantly. God damn it, Cons. Wait till I report to Chaps about this. Wait till I pass him the logbook.
I'm pretty sure Chaps has already. I've had this discussion with Chaps before.
Round number three. Conspiracy theories and the election. One conspiracy theory that I've heard out there recently is that you're not a man if you wear another man's jersey. That's absolutely ridiculous and stupid. Anyways, this came to us from Time Magazine. Charlotte Alter wrote this great... And like, have you guys seen those websites like Yandex and Q... we've all heard about QAnon and like Pizzagate and all that stuff like that. And you wonder like, who falls into this shit and how do they believe it? But then I'll like start on YouTube going down a rabbit hole of like tsunami videos. And the next thing you know, I'm like, did Bush do 9/11, man? Like, you know, it sends you down a wacky rabbit hole where the videos that you start getting sent, like the next in queue, get weirder and weirder and weirder. And you find yourself like, I don't know, maybe not. That was a horrible example. I don't believe Bush did 9/11. I still think Cons is dumb for his jersey theory. Anyways, so this Charlotte Alter did this really interesting article for Time, and I'm going to read it. She kind of wrote it in her voice, so I'm going to kind of read it that way. But feel free to butt in where you want if you have any thoughts on any of this or if you've seen any of these conspiracy theories, because I thought it was kind of wild. So Carrie Farrow is a busy mom on her way to the post office, leather mini backpack, brunette top knot, turquoise pedicure, and a matching ombre manicure. She's a hairdresser from Kenosha, Wisconsin, and she didn't vote in 2016, but has become a strong supporter of Donald Trump. Why does the news hate the president so much? She says, I went down a rabbit hole. I started doing a lot of research. When I ask her what she means by research, something shifts. Her voice has the same honey tone as before, and her face is as friendly as ever, but there's an uncanny flash as she says, this is where I don't know what I could say, because what's integrated into our system stems deep. And it has to do with really corrupt, evil, dark things that have been hidden from the public. Child sex trafficking is one of them. Farrow may not have even realized it, but she's parroting elements of the QAnon conspiracy theory, a viral delusion that began in 2017 and has spread widely over recent months, migrating from far-right corners of the internet to infect ordinary voters in the suburbs. Its followers believe...
That's a real polite way of saying stupid people.
But people that ordinary. I know, Cons, people that I know in my everyday life are falling for this in ways where I walk away and I'm like, holy shit, like this is my old buddy and they're like all in on this and they were pretty smart. Like, what the hell? Like, it's interesting to see. But its followers believe President Trump is a hero safeguarding the world from the deep state, a cabal of Satan worshiping pedophiles, politicians and Hollywood celebrities who run a global sex trafficking ring, harvesting the blood of children for life-sustaining chemicals. So none of this is true, but an alarming number of Americans have been exposed to these wild ideas. There are thousands of QAnon groups and pages on Facebook with millions of members, including some people I know that I've seen from my searching. Anyways, but millions and millions of members. And this is NBC News did research into this, looked into this. Dozens of QAnon-friendly candidates have run for Congress, and at least three have won GOP primaries. So they're winning elections. And they're in more than seven dozen interviews conducted in Wisconsin in early September, from the suburbs around Milwaukee to the scarred streets of Kenosha in the aftermath of the Jacob Blake shooting, about one in five voters volunteered ideas that veered into the realm of conspiracy theory, ranging from QAnon to the notion that COVID-19 is a hoax, two women in Ozaukee County. By the way, I love all the town and county names out there. Informed me that an evil cabal operates tunnels under the U.S. in order to rape and torture children and drink their blood. A Joe Biden supporter near Kenosha Church told me that their votes don't matter because the elites will decide the outcome of the election. And a woman on a Kenosha street corner explained that Democrats were planning to bring in UN troops to prevent Trump from winning. Some had clearly been exposed to QAnon conspiracy theories online. Others seem to be repeating false ideas espoused in Plandemic. Have you seen these? It's these two viral videos with a discredited former medical researcher that went viral. And they're explaining that like COVID-19 is a hoax and it's a social media thing. And when asked where they found their information, all the women that this lady was out there from Time Magazine interviewing said, go online, dig deep. So these people are going down like serious. And it's like, I see it from like my parents about, they're like, well, we got an email from so-and-so. Like old people email chains, I think, is a big one sharing this stuff. They're big on email chains.
Those big email chains. It's like, if you don't forward this, everything's going to die. Everyone's going to die. You got to forward it to five people in the next 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But like, I'll still get emails from my dad. He's like, check this out. They're still very into like the sending each other, like whatever. American politics, though, and from both sides, left and right, this one just happens to be focusing on QAnon, more of the far-right stuff, but it's always been prone to spasms of conspiracy. The historian Richard Hofstadter famously called it an arena for angry minds. In the late 18th and 19th centuries, Americans were convinced that the Masons were an anti-government conspiracy. I used to hear, I'm always like, what is the Masons? There's like weird stuff going on there. Populists in the 1890s warned of secret cabals controlling the price of gold. In the 20th century, McCarthyism and the John Birch Society fueled waves of anti-communist delusions that animated the right. I mean, that was a crazy time, too, that all this stuff turned out to be, like, not true at all and ruined a whole lot of lives and was very weird. And it's on both sides. A Kenosha resident who voted for Clinton in 2016 and plans to vote for Biden lowered her voice as she speculated about the forces behind the destruction in her city. No rich people lost their buildings. Who benefits when the neighborhood burns down? So it's on both sides. But again, you know, she's interviewing women and a lot of them were saying too, Yandex is where they're getting their information. It's a Russian-owned search engine. Russian-owned and operated and everything they're putting out there, but people are still taking it in. And this is where they're getting a lot of like, one of the women, this woman, her last name is Frank, she said she spends most of her time now researching child sex trafficking, and she finds most of that on Yandex. Her eyes filled with tears as she describes what she's found on that site. Children who are being raped and tortured so that the cabal, the lefty cabal, can extract their blood and drink it. She says that Trump has seized the blood, the children's blood, on the black market as part of his fight against them. I think if Biden wins, the world is over, she adds. I would honestly try to leave the country. And if that wasn't an option, I would probably take my children and sit in the garage and turn my car on and it would be over.
Jeez.
What the fuck?
Yeah. So people are getting, I mean, maybe that was tongue in cheek, but people are getting, and conspiracy thinking, like all these crazy conspiracies, they're saying declining trust in our institutions, the demise of local news, a social media environment that makes every rumor easy to spread and difficult to debunk. And this, the former director of Harvard's like online disinformation and conspiracy center, which I bet this is a person you could talk to all day. This guy, Nico Mill, says the brain is wired to like crazy. We are wired to want to believe this stuff. And like, that is why there's so many TV shows about conspiracy theories and why they get so much of a following, whatever. Like our brain is like wired to be interested in this shit. So
yeah, it's very much human nature. It's like crazy, to like drama. It's the reason I think, you know, or one of the reasons why reality television is as popular as it's been for the last few decades. I mean, I think you're a conspiracy theory person or you're not. There's no real much in between. You either listen to them and then you'll go deep. And gosh, now is as great a time as ever with the availability of information. If you want to believe something, you can find enough information on the internet to support that belief. So sure. If you want to believe, Kate, you know, you mentioned Bush did 9/11. There's tons of documentaries that will say this, that, and the other. And you'll leave watching those documentaries and saying, well, yeah, of course. So you can convince yourself of anything. So I do think there are a lot of things that go on in this country that are not meant for public consumption, and that's okay. But I don't know that it's as dire and drastic as some of these people would like to believe.
The underground kid caves. We gotta stop it. We gotta stop. Those are the ones, the really outlandish ones that I'm like, what? Yeah. How do you, what?
How do you get there?
People enjoy thinking that they know something that not a lot of people know.
Oh, yeah.
It becomes super exciting for them because, like, people on the internet love to share two things. Things that make them look smart and things that piss everyone off.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. It just so happens that these two things meld perfectly into conspiracy theories. And so it's like wildfire across, you know, the suburban Facebook mom demo.
And it's kind of like the scene from Good Will Hunting when the guy is just parroting everything he's written in whatever the history books. It's these people, they want to act like they're smart and they're so smug when they tell you like, oh, you didn't know about the underground caves. It's like, well, no, you're just regurgitating something you read online 2 days ago. So don't come at me like you have all this extra special information. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Trump got the kid blood back. He got all the kid blood
back. I'm sorry, what is this, hocus pocus? They're just sucking the blood of the kids to stay young and live forever?
It's like anytime my parents, they're on Facebook, anytime, and I love them. Let me, if they listen, I'll preface with, I love you guys. But every time they say I saw on Facebook, I just stop. I'm just like, nope,
right.
I'm not listening to it because it's just some overshared boomer meme.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of it. So they say that this disinformation and all this craziness, how it gets out, because they say there's like Russian bot farms working overtime, pumping these crazy stories out there, and that people are eating them the fuck up because the brain's wired to like crazy. We want to see, like, we're fucking in on it. I'm petty and stupid enough to be like, maybe I don't believe it, but what's this story? Like, what is it saying? Like, I want the tea. Let me know. So they're saying it's Facebook and YouTube and other social media sites. They have these algorithms that reward conspiracies because people, once you see the first one, you want the next, you know. So it rewards it. And that's how people wind up going so far down these rabbit holes that make it worse and worse and worse, where people fall into this, like, not quite cult-like, but when you wonder, like, how did somebody fall for this crazy cult shit? Like, kind of a similar rabbit hole, a similar like thing that people fall down. But that Harvard researcher said, we are not anywhere near peak crazy. It's only going to get weirder. We're in trouble, she adds. Words sort of fail to capture the nightmare scenario this is, because it's just like a perfect storm. So buckle up, everyone. Hold on to your butts. It's only going to get weirder online. Your crazy uncle, he's only just begun. One thing that is not a conspiracy theory that is actually true and good for all of us is Invest. Facing transition out of the military is rarely easy. It doesn't help that the staggering number of options you're faced with can be overwhelming. And I know that was the case for me. I like was like, I'm going to be a trucker. I'm going to be a cop in New Orleans. I'm going to be a baker. I had no idea what the hell to do. But there's a light at the end of that tunnel for all veterans. And that light shines brightest out in Indiana. It's not just a place to pass through. It's a place to put down roots and raise a family. Lucrative careers in fast-growing industries are plentiful. Housing costs are amongst the lowest in the nation. And you can live in the country while being less than an hour from a world-class city. Indianapolis, truly one of my favorite cities. I have family out there. I go several times a year and always have a blasty blast. At InVets, we're showing veterans how to translate the valuable skills they've learned to the civilian world while connecting them with careers they can be proud of and lead fulfilling, purposeful lives. Over 80,000 current job openings are out in Indiana right now, and InVets.org is the digital connection point to employers specifically looking for veterans. InVets works with employers from all industries across the state of Indiana to create a second door in the hiring process, specifically for not just veterans, but their spouses too. I feel like they're often forgotten about in this whole process. They're looking out for military spouses too. InVets Veteran Engagement Team is standing by to work with you to help you find the right career in your transition. And Indiana's communities consistently rank as some of the top places to live and raise a family in the United States. Go to invets.org/zero. Create a profile to learn more about Indiana communities. Browse the current open jobs in those communities and receive, best of all, who doesn't love, a free shirt. That's invets.org/zero.
All right, round number four comes from my favorite named journalist over there at military.com, Hope Hodgsek, about a little father-son action. At 59, Staff Sergeant Monty Gould is the oldest ever graduate of the Army's current basic combat training course, finishing in the top 10% of his class. Congrats to him. now a decade or two older than retirement age for most career soldiers, he's starting a new journey with plans to join his son, Specialist Jared Gould, in the 405th Civil Affairs Battalion's Las Vegas Detachment. Not a bad place to be stationed.
No.
A veteran of the Marine Corps and Army National Guard, Gould went through a boot camp in 1978, more than four decades earlier.
Holy shit.
And the BCT experience, Gould said, was completely different. I can imagine so.
Yeah.
One, I was in the Marines, and this is the Army. Two, it is 43 years later. The context is this. It'd be like taking a guy that went through Marine boot camp in 1944 and putting him back in boot camp in 1986. Though much older than his fellow trainees, Gould didn't indulge in self-pity. After the first 2 weeks here, I said to myself, this isn't going to be hard. And anytime it did get a little bit hard, I just said, dude, what are you whining about? You've been through way worse than this. BCT was absolutely not harder than his first entry-level training cycle as a Marine recruit, he said. However, I couldn't physically do now what I did then. Surprising, I know. He left the Marine Corps to work in civilian law enforcement, then enlisted in the Army National Guard in the early 2000s as an infantryman. After serving until 2009, he once again hung up his uniform. He came back this year because he's 2 years shy of earning a military retirement pension. That's ridiculous that all this time and he didn't have his pension in line.
Right. And I wonder why he didn't just knock it out back then and like what the, you know what, two yeah. years ago? I don't know. I don't know what
Who
it
knows?
Was.
You know, life comes at you. Sometimes you get asked to leave or you have to leave the military for whatever reason. So who knows?
Yeah. I love but, this next part.
Yeah. But he says, I'll stay as long as they'll have me. When drill sergeants administered corrective PT, they didn't work recruits until muscle failure like drill instructors did in the Marine Corps in the 70s, he added. So still, that didn't stop his knees from swelling up and sending him to sick call multiple times over the course of his training. I mean,
I just have to stop there. Like, I like that one, a couple times now, he's alluded to, like, not as tough as Marine Corps stuff, I mean, you know. And I feel like if you went through Marine Corps boot camp in, like, the 70s or 80s, nothing ever, no other training will ever be as like, you're never going to go through hazing like that again, no matter what. That was a totally different time.
Yeah, I mean, just the words they would use and the yeah. slurs and everything, and just very, very different now. Anyway, he liked the PT uniforms better now, too. He said, when I was in the Marine Corps, we ran in boots and utility pants and T-shirts. We weren't authorized tennis shoes. That's pretty ridiculous. But I guess that's why the Corps was harder back then.
But I'm just thinking that talking about the drill sergeants and the corrective PT and all that, even still them doing that now, like, I feel like I would have trouble. He's like 60 years old. I feel like these instructors are in their mid 20s and being like, you see his like swollen knees and you see that he's an old, feel like I would have so much trouble yelling at my dad.
I would definitely feel bad as well. Like, the guy's obviously trying very hard, right? He's not there just to goof off, so he's very much trying. But you're just limited. Even if you stay in unbelievable shape to the age of 60, you're still not in as good of shape as you were when you were 20. So it's just going to be different. It's going to be harder. So very much applaud this gentleman for deciding to do this when he's nearly 60 years old.
So. I like, too, that he was saying, like, talking to the young kids in his unit. Like, you're going through boot camp with a 60-year-old man. That has to give you a little bit of, like, if he's fucking doing it, okay, I can suck it up and do it. Like, if you're falling out and this guy is crushing it, like, better fix yourself kind of feeling. So I kind of like that, you know, he's finishing up his final 2 years. And I wonder what his son thinks. Like, he seems like a cool enough guy. But, like, sure. If he's not, like, Kyle, you're shaking your head no. Would you have your dad in your unit?
Not just no, but fuck no. Like, I mean, you move out because you don't want to be around your parents anymore, right? Like, that's what you do. Mm-hmm. And so you join the Army, you join the Marine Corps, and then dear old dad pops back in, and you just want to go get fucking destroyed with your buds in the smoke pit. And then there's dad like, hey, don't do that. Hey.
Yeah. You know, how do you do, fellow cool specialist?
And he outranks you? Like, come on. That sucks.
Yeah.
That'd be very tough. But also, too, like, I would start to feel bad, too, if I'm doing something physical and we're doing PT or whatever, and then I would, if I saw my dad and he was having a tough time.
Right?
I'd be like, oh, damn, I don't want my dad to have a tough time with this. Like, I wish I could, like, pick him up and do it for him.
I know. I've been not putting too much of my dad's business, but he's got hemorrhoids. He's out there doing the PT, and I feel like somebody tell him he's got 100 sit-ups. Come on. Just help the fucking guy out. Like, I feel like I would have a really hard time.
I'm kind of surprised they even allowed this to begin with. They see his age, and they say, yeah, okay, cool, you can come.
Yeah, what's the deal? Yeah. Like, what? There had to be some kind of old waiver system, I guess. I don't know.
There's got to be something else to this story, because I don't know how you allow someone at that age to enter the military. I thought there were cutoffs for age limits, so I'm kind of surprised that we're even reading this story right now.
I mean, this guy's going to be banking it. He's probably got like a police pension he's going to be collecting on that. He's got Social Security he can start drawing on in three fucking years. And he's going to get a retirement with all that, plus, you know, more health care besides what he's probably got on his police retirement.
Mm-hmm.
Smart man. He's
talk about mailbox money.
There we go. He's not going to have to do anything.
And he's in the civil affairs unit. Not that they're not the most, you know, not that they're not gung-ho, but it's not like they're going to be like, hey,
well, do you
Staff Sergeant, we need you to go over to Pakistan and blah, blah, blah. Like,
do you know what CA does, though?
Do you remember the bat teams, Kate? The, like, bat or cat teams from
the bats and hides where you scan the eyeballs?
No,
I used to have to do that.
The guys that would, like, go out on just, like, two MRAPs and go out into the villages and be like, hey, you guys want this, or we'll build you this canal? That's civil affairs.
Oftentimes they're attached to special forces.
Yeah.
And doing some high-speed shit.
Well, maybe they need an old man.
Yeah.
You know, they need
to talk to the elders.
The village elder.
There you go.
Yeah.
So this could be a deeper thing. Speaking of conspiracies, maybe we're reenlisting a bunch of older men, getting back into the hearts and minds of the old. Yeah.
Not bad.
All right.
I have to imagine a 59-6-year-old man is more equipped to talk to a village elder than I was at 23.
Yeah.
Probably.
You want a cigarette or some Starburst, man?
Going around asking if he knows Mia Khalifa. That's probably not happening with 59-year-old staff sergeant here.
Yeah.
But. Yeah. You never know. You never know. So anyways, that's it. And shout out to all the – I mean, those fires out west are insane right now. Huge shout out to all the guard members who have been called up to help with that. The nut to butt packed helicopters with like hundreds of people getting brought to safety. They're doing a ton of good work out there. And that's really my only saved round. Do you guys have any?
Kyle?
Go ahead, Cons. I know you got something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, you got seven of them.
Sure. Now, I will say, listen, you all listening, if you want to come at me about my take on jerseys, I don't care. I fought this fight many, many times. I will stand strong. Nothing you can say will change how I feel about grown men wearing jerseys. So don't even try. Don't bother me in my mentions.
Good point.
Number two, I got to give a special shout out to Coach Jeff Monk, an Army's coach, who decided on 4th and 10 on our own 35 to call a fake punt and got 47 yards. That's good coaching right there. So,
all right,
Kyle, you have any good saved rounds?
Just to help Cons out, if you don't like his jersey take and you don't have social media, Cons at barstoolsports.com. He'll answer any and all emails about anything, especially long ones about clothing. So you're going out this. You're going out. You need a fashion tip? Hey, send him a picture. Snap him a little pic. He'll help you out.
Or you've gone out and it's late at night and you're drunk and you just are full of hate, hit him up. He's also able to be found on Twitter and Instagram at Captain Cons. So.
Yeah, so Cons at barstoolsports.com and at Captain Cons. So, no, that's all I got. Just want to help you out there, pal.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
You're a sweetie pie.
And we'll be back on Friday, end of the week.
Sound the retreat.
Sound the retreat. Sound the retreat. There we go.
Sound that retreat, man.
Sound that retreat. How about you sound that retreat? You guys want to sound the retreat?
Sound it.
Hey, how about you take that retreat and sound it?
Sound it right off.
God damn it. I'm just
retreat, baby girl.